knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in stop it. Andy in Kansas. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work. Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Damn.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today?
Jordan, today's bright spot comes in the form of a zip.
Uh-oh.
A check in the mailbag.
Is there a mailbag?
There is. There's enough mailbag discussion to get through that there's got to be a bright spot. And, Jordan, close your eyes. Close your eyes.
They're closed.
Okay. Keep them closed.
All right.
Because we got this in the mailbag. Zip. Everyone's crazy except you. Yes, you can.
Okay.
Everyone's crazy except you and me, and I'm not so sure about you.
Truffles finally sent us the book.
A book by Lionel.
Lionel!
America's favorite contrarian cuts loose. So this is for you.
Let me take a look at this. Hold on. We're going to pull up a random page.
Mm. Here's the note from Drefke. Tat guys, as I talked about in the Facebook group, my dad would get me a book every Christmas. Because he knew I liked comedy, he would just get a book from the humor section. Many looked horrible and we were never read, traveling with me from house to house. While looking through my books last weekend, I found this gem. Do with it as you see fit. Always felt guilty that I've never been able to give, so consider this a way too overdue way of saying thanks for the hours. Miss you dorks! Love, Matt and Henry. Not Aaron. She doesn't understand why I listen.
We
fair
love
enough.
You too, Aaron.
Yeah.
I was at your wedding, so Aaron.
So was I. Uninvited, but I was there.
True. You were my plus one.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a page 120 from Everyone's Crazy Except You and Me.
And I'm not so sure about you.
This chapter is called Hate Crimes. Can you say tautology?
Uh-oh.
So you know it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here we go. I recall a case I prosecuted. A home was torched because its owners were gay. Fine. Well, not fine, but bear with me.
You didn't start in the impression.
I know, but now it's gotta happen. Yeah. We charge this arsonist with, get ready, arson! First degree arson, baby! The max! I was fighting fire with fire, but then I was approached by one of the owners who demanded I file the case as a hate crime. Wow, this goes on for a while. No,
yeah,
I think we're good.
He really doesn't like hate crime laws.
This is going on for a while, and it's not great.
So we got another little thing here from Jimbo.
Okay.
Hey, hello, Dan and Jordan. Long-time listener, first-time writer. I'm sorry I wasn't able to get to you this before the Lionel retrospective. You Don't Look Like You Sound is an album of Lionel from way back that includes
what the shit?
Some clips of him on WABC radio and some stand-up he did at a bar in Long Island.
Get the fuck out of here.
I listened to Lionel back in the early 90s in New York and was shocked to find out years later he changed from a largely apolitical jokester to full-bore right-wing loon. I think the CD is a good example of what Jordan has said in the past. Right-wing weirdos are mostly just failed stand-up comedians.
Yeah.
So those are gifts. Thank you, Jimbo.
Yes, thank you very much, Jimbo.
And Drefke, thank you for the Lionel gifts.
Yes, thank you very much,
Drefke. This was something that I figured, like, look, I don't even like Lionel that much. This is all about you. So those are gifts for you.
Yes.
Then you should take those home.
I will.
But then I thought about it.
I need to get them away from you.
But I thought about it, and, like, it's not really a gift for you if you've got to read the whole thing. It's really only a gift for you if I can find the parts that are funny and play them for you.
Wait, no, then it turns into work.
Well, I mean, it's a Wacky Wednesday option.
That's our job now.
It's a Wacky Wednesday
That's
option.
That's true. That
so
is.
I think for maybe...
Ooh, you should rip the CD on your computer.
We'll see if there's any good stand-up.
I think that might be a way to go.
So there may
be. I shall be giving you the CD back.
Well, I mean, certainly because, like, I think I've exhausted most of his YouTube channel in terms of the funny stuff. this might be exactly what we need to make the final installment of our Lionel trilogy.
Some people would say that you did that halfway through our second go around.
I would say
Lionel.
Halfway through the first one.
That's fair.
Because he is not funny.
He's not good.
Hey, backpacks. So that's a lot of fun.
That's a great bright spot.
Lionel.
Hey!
So what's your bright spot?
My bright spot is Dan. I finally, or not finally, I got my partner a good gift for her birthday.
Hey,
it's coming up.
Congratulations. Happy birthday.
I would give it to you, but you might be able to guess her password, and then you could steal her identity. So we can't allow that.
Well, I think we know some of the numbers.
Which ones?
True. It could be in October.
Yeah.
That is coming up.
Yeah. So I'm excited to give her. Here's what I did. I got her a good gift. Do you know what I'm saying?
The way you're making your eyes look, that almost read like expensive.
No, not expensive.
Okay.
This is my point.
Okay.
All right? I came out the
gate
too hot.
Your eyes did something weird.
My first gift for her birthday was 20th anniversary tickets to the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill concert. She's a huge Lauryn Hill fan, and Lauryn Hill showed up. That was the first gift. I'm not even going to beat that ever, Dan.
No, that was year one.
Yeah. No, I'm going to lose from there on.
Yeah, you're setting the bar way too high.
What I got to do is maintain now. I got to get consistently good gifts. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to hit 50 home runs a year. I got to stick with the 25 that's going to get me a good contract and a good career.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got to do.
Right.
I can't be throwing out those big years anymore.
You don't want to
blow out my knee.
You're like Mike Trout.
Exactly.
Great first season.
And then the best baseball player in history. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
You understand Mike Trout is the best baseball player in the history of the game.
I've lost track of baseball.
He's the best baseball player.
He was a rookie. He was the rookie the last time I played fantasy baseball, and I have not checked since.
Yeah. In terms of wins above replacement, he's the best there's ever been.
I thought maybe he had like an amazing rookie season and then turned into a good player.
No,
the best.
No, here's what he did. He had an amazing rookie season, and then he worked on the holes in his game the next season and made those great. The next season he worked on the other things that were a problem and made those great. He has gotten better every single. He's the greatest.
I
have a lot of feelings about Mike Trout.
This is why I shouldn't make references.
Don't do it.
In the arena. That I don't know anything about. So Lauryn Hill tickets.
That. Yes.
Good rookie
Too
season.
Good. Too good.
Right. Rookie of the year caliber.
Amazing stuff. Next gift, way worse. Got her sheets.
What kind of sheets?
They were really, really nice sheets. High thread count.
What fabric, Dick?
No idea. Just really, really nice ones.
It's not a good gift if you don't know what the fabric
is. I don't know.
Was.
Is it linen? Is that the good one?
Satin?
Weren't silk. Satin might be right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
What's good? Is satin better than...
Satin's better than linen, I think.
Anyways, they were very luxurious sheets, and I thought they were good. But that's basically, that's like getting somebody a
vacuum
cleaner.
You guys share a bed.
That's a practical
gift. That's a gift for you, too.
Exactly.
You know?
I failed.
Yeah.
I failed miserably.
But then again, you got to go to Lauryn Hill with her, so...
Exactly.
That's also... That's much like the sheets, a gift you both enjoy.
No, apparently I'm a fucking bad person. Yeah. I realize this. I'm
selfish.
Trying to be good. I'm trying. And that's why I got her a gift for her.
Uh-huh.
That's good.
Well,
not great?
I know that she doesn't listen, so you could say what it is, but you shouldn't.
No,
still,
not a chance.
That's spiritually against the rules of gifts.
Absolutely.
Well, congratulations.
I'll tell you what her birthday is, though.
Okay.
And her password.
Okay. Congratulations on finding a good gift.
I'm happy.
That always feels good.
It does.
So, Jordan, today we're going to be taking a look at September 15th, 2020. I'm Dan. This is 2020.
God damn it.
On the Alex Jones Show. But I think that what we're going to do is we're going to take real... limited view on it.
So
there's a lot I had some expectations of what I thought I was looking around at, and just a lot. It was flat. It was a pretty flat show, but there are some things that I think are actually really worth and important to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not going to give short shrift to those things, but as a whole, there's a lot that it leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah, I can imagine so.
What does not leave a lot to be desired is our very positive feelings that we have towards the people who have signed up in our sporting show.
That's a great transition.
Thank you. So first, Maze D, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Maze.
Thank you. Next, Kyle S, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you very much, Kyle.
Jordan was distracted by the Lionel book.
No, I was looking up something that I was going to say later, but yeah, and it's just as good as you might imagine.
Thank you so much, Alan L. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Thank you. Next, 60 seconds is too long for a theme tune. Disagree with your name, but thank you. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much. 60 seconds is the right length of a tune.
Exactly. Next, Stephen S. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Stephen.
Thank you. Next, Jeremiah. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Jeremiah.
Thank you. And then John Bolton's mustache. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, John Bolton's mustache.
You can
mustache.
Just picture that mustache hitting the keys
totally.
In order to sign
Absolutely.
In for an account.
It has its own hands.
Yeah.
For sure.
Hunt and peck, though, typing.
Oh, naturally. Yeah. Salinger used to type like that.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's John Bolton's mustache, too.
Okay.
All right.
Then finally, I'd like to say thank you to a couple people who donated on an elevated level. We appreciate that very much. So all capital letters, CAF. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat. And Amanda B. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate. That's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right? Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large. I declare info war on you.
Thank you so much, Calf, and thank you so much, Amanda B.
Yes, thank you very much to the both of you.
If you're out there listening and you're thinking, hey, I enjoy this show, I'd like to support what these gents do, you can do that by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking the button that says support the show. We would appreciate it. Or
indeed you could. Or you could open up Everyone's Crazy Except You and Me to
and
a
I'm
random
not so
page.
Sure about you.
Random page. You can pull out a random paragraph here, and let's look it over. Look at our funeral processes. That's the sickest thing that we still do, next to NASCAR. And you can take a great joke like that, boil it down, make it something way better, and give it to a charitable organization or bail fund in your area, and it'll be a great idea.
Sounds about as smooth as it could be.
And it's a pretty good, it is all right.
Yeah. So, Jordan, today, like I said, we're going over the Tuesday episode and the 15th of September. I kind of expected that Alex would be in self-defense mode, mm-hmm. in damage control mode.
Sure.
Because the day before on social media, Twitter, and the news, there was a conversation that was going around about a whistleblower complaint.
Yeah, The Intercept released that, I believe.
Yeah, and it was on behalf of Project South, the Institute for the Elimination of Poverty and Genocide, had put out a whistleblower complaint from a nurse, Dawn Wooten, who worked at the Irwin County Detention Center. There's a number of interviews that they did with immigrants who had been detained, cataloging a number of
real fucked up shit.
Yeah, I want to say shortcomings in healthcare, but I think that would be almost too diplomatic
That's
of a way to put it.
Understatement of the year.
Certainly, the thing that was leading a lot of these stories was a bit of information about a particular doctor that a number of the female detainees had gone to, who apparently seemed to have a high rate of giving people hysterectomies, mm-hmm. That was suspicious, and some of these people who had had the procedure done seemed to be unaware or confused about why it was done.
Yeah.
These sorts of things are human rights issues that are staggering and horrifying.
Yeah.
And while this is a whistleblower complaint that requires investigation, and it needs to be investigated, and
yeah.
I hope will be thoroughly, you do still expect that the next day, after this is a big piece of the media cycle, Alex Jones would have something to say about it.
Yeah.
Like, you would think that this would be something that he would come out in front of and do damage control.
Right.
Because there's so many intersections of Alex Jones type issues that are here,
mm-hmm.
that are a real problem for him.
Yeah.
With his ideas about the globalists wanting to sterilize people,
mm-hmm.
his ideas about immigrants. There's a lot of things that make this. When I saw this news, I thought this was a particularly Alex Jones meatball.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least something that he would need to discuss.
Yeah. And Nazi doctor so evil America would have brought him here after World War II.
So when this story is coming up and is of a lot of people's attention, it seems like if that's on Monday, then Tuesday's show, Alex is going to be talking about it.
Gotta.
And so I was kind of surprised, but maybe I shouldn't be anymore, that he didn't talk about it, really.
Why would you?
It's just a whole bunch of this.
Information you're receiving in this broadcast is the most dangerous information in the world to the anti-human forces of Satan. This is not a drill. This is not hyperbole. This is not exaggeration. This is the reality that we face. And no matter if some of you are doubting this information now in the future, you will see it all unfold. And you will be forced to admit there is a God, there is a devil. You will be forced to choose a side. The founder of Black Lives Matter has now come out and admitted they are Satanists. That's all coming up.
So, it's, I mean,
Satanists.
Yeah, this is the leading story. This is the head story. Black Lives Matter admits that they worship the devil and they killed police in order to sacrifice to their demonic bloodlust.
Sure.
It's a ritual sacrifice.
Right.
And it's, you know, my patience wears thin a little.
Yeah.
It's really hard for me to approach this because that's not even something that I'm interested in really responding to.
Yeah.
It's silly.
Yeah.
This is nonsensical.
Yeah, we can't really have a discussion about the merits of any arguments whenever you're automatically just invalidating one by being like, they work for Satan.
Right.
Don't worry about it. Sure, they've got good points, but they work for Satan. You can't trust those guys.
It's taking things almost to an unfair playing field to automatically and incessantly yell the devil.
Yeah, you're the devil. You're the devil.
There's not much there's not much really that you know, reasonable people can do with that. It's just like, okay, all right,
you work for the literal Christian devil. He doesn't sign my checks, so
right. Well, I mean, like, if you want to talk about a lot of these, like, white nationalist, white identity groups, a lot of them to make a big deal out of worshiping the elder gods.
Sure.
And like, you know, like, well, Nordic, yeah. Norse gods.
No, I mean, yeah, sure, Odin is not necessarily appreciated by God, according to his, I don't know, he wrote down some things, told people to follow him. And one of the big ones, maybe even the first one, was don't fuck around with Odin. I'm paraphrasing.
Odin's a mess.
I'm paraphrasing there.
But like, what I'm saying is that, like, okay, yes, you can note that there is a preoccupation with Norse deities among some of these white supremacist groups.
Naturally.
Now, if your complaint about them and what you want to talk about all the time is that they worship Odin.
Yeah.
I think you're wasting your time.
Wow.
I think that maybe I have policy differences.
Sure.
I have worldview differences with these white identity, white nationalist, white supremacist types that have nothing to do with their interest in Norse gods.
Yeah, but you can't argue that because you didn't trade your eye for wisdom. Now, did you, Dan?
Right. But if I were to do a show where I was decrying the white supremacist menace, and so much of my time was spent talking about the evils of Odin, like, I would expect that no one would take me seriously either. Even though, I mean, if I were listening to a show and they kept talking about, they were like, hey, look, we got a real problem with white supremacists. And the problem is that they have come out and admit that they worship Odin.
Ooh, that's an issue.
I wouldn't think that that show was very hard hitting. I don't think that I would be that interested in it. And I really have a tough time being in a position where it's my job to listen to a dickhole who just talks about fucking Satan all the time. It's weird. It's really weird.
Yeah, that's no good. Can you imagine a show that is purportedly a news show just being like, breaking news, most of the Oath Keepers worship Odin, so we don't need to worry about him. We're good, guys.
Or we don't need to talk about anything about what they represent.
Oh, no. They're Odin
they
worshippers.
Do. We don't have to talk about reality in reality's terms because who worship Odin.
Of course. They're Odin worshippers. We're doing great, by the way. I feel like discourse, top of the heap.
Yeah, so it's a lot of that. There's a lot of this in this episode. There's a lot of rambling nonsense, a lot of no conversation whatsoever about that whistleblower complaint.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't want to talk about that.
No. And so
makes you look like you work for the literal Christian devil if you support those guys.
And when you start off your show with this, like, hey, you're going to eventually learn that there is my version of God that is good and the literal devil, which is evil.
Right.
And Black Lives Matter worship Satan. And that's my top story of the day. It just becomes a thing where it's like, all right, I'm just going to listen to this show and what's interesting, because obviously there isn't anything that has any relationship to news.
Yeah. Like, and Thor is only like chaotic neutral at best. Mm-hmm. So you can't really rely on him to join you.
Can't do it.
No.
So the things that I find interesting are what we're going to be talking about on this episode. I'm freeing myself from the shackles of actually taking seriously anything he says.
I like it. This is a good day.
At least for this episode. Perhaps. Maybe it's a manifestation of disappointment in him. And so the first thing that I've picked out here that Alex I think is interesting is that Alex is, you know, he's not blind to the world around him. Mm-hmm. He recognizes that Matt Drudge is signaling some dissatisfaction with Trump and that people are noticing that. People are noticing his choice of headlines are not towing the exact party line they always have. And Alex notices that, and he's fine to bring it up, but also at the same time, he dares not turn on Drudge, which is weird.
And everyone that helped promote InfoWars material, like Drudge did for 15 years, changed the whole face of the world. That's why it's hard to get mad at Drudge. He's obviously supporting the other team when he helped get us to this point. I haven't talked to Drudge in years. I don't know what Drudge is up to or why Drudge is doing that. That's why nothing but support for Drudge, because, again, just giving credit where credit's due. Paul Watson's got a big video out on him saying what the hell happened to him. And it's a good question. In fact, I'm going to play it later today and talk about that. But that's a side issue.
It's not. It's a main issue. And the main issue is that none of this makes sense. Like, if Alex is to be believed, this is a war between good and the literal devil.
Yes.
Matt Drudge has changed sides and is working with the literal devil.
Yeah.
But I wish him nothing but success because he posted links to my articles in the past.
Sure.
What?
Yeah.
With the fact that he promoted you in the past and was a main part of the Patriot team makes it hard for you to complain about him now working for the devil? I would think it would make it much easier.
I wish him the best.
Fuck you.
I really want him to have success in his future endeavors, even though regardless of what I believe about his quality, since he's working for the other team, if he is in any way successful, the devil
wins. Helps the devil.
It helps the devil.
And apparently Matt Drudge is super effective. He was really helpful in platforming InfoWars.
Which means he's a huge get for the devil.
The devil's going to be able to do a lot of good, a lot of stuff with Matt Drudge. You should not be wishing him success, Alex. It makes no sense.
No.
But it does make sense when you recognize that Alex is like, yeah, maybe I'm still going to need Drudge's clicks.
Maybe
I still need some of that traffic. And if I get too mad at him, he definitely isn't going to post my dumb shit on his site anymore.
Like, honestly, when this all blows over, I'm going to need Drudge back on my side?
Yeah.
Is that what he's thinking?
Drudge has a much larger organic fan base than I do, and I know because I can look at my statistics and I can see all of the incoming traffic that comes from Drudge.
Yeah.
And I'm going to still need that, so good luck working for the devil. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Great.
It is such a bummer to live in that world, though, where it's like, this guy that I've loved and respected and has given me a huge boost throughout my career has changed his opinion about something. So rather than at all engage with that, he's working for the devil.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's what you do when you don't really have any points.
Yeah, that's a good strategy, I suppose. Yeah.
But you notice here that Alex isn't saying that because he can't, because even that would be too much.
Totally.
He's clearly on the other side.
Yeah.
You know what the other side means.
Right.
You think it's the devil.
You know, that's funny, though, especially, like, think about it this way, all right? Normally, when Alex hates something that he used to love, he throws a tantrum about it until he gets attention. Now, we saw that work with Joe Rogan. With Matt Drudge, You can't say that he's a devil worshiper, and then Matt Drudge is going to be like, well, let me put a couple links back on my site.
Right.
You're fucked.
I think that, yeah, there's a different relationship there.
And totally.
I think that Alex recognizes that Joe Rogan can boost him and what have you, but Drudge made him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He would be nowhere without Drudge.
Totally.
And I think he recognizes that on some level. And he's like, I can't. And can you imagine what it would be like if like 15 years of your career had largely been based on traffic that like the attention that came from this conduit?
Yeah.
Like it would be years and years of a built up sort of crutch, emotional crutch on this person.
Yeah.
It would be very difficult to then be like, well, they're working for the devil.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't just like, I'm going to need that traffic eventually in the future again, so let's not burn the bridge.
Although that wasn't very hard for Galileo. He burned those bridges of the guy who took care of him that whole time.
Certain people.
And then he got called worshiping the devil. So, you know, there's a lot of parallels between Alex Jones and
yeah, who knows?
Galileo, maybe? Yeah. I don't know.
So Alex, he believes that Black Lives Matter worship the devil, of course.
Of course.
And they do these blood sacrifices and rituals in order to appease their dread god.
Naturally.
And one of the evidence pieces that he has about this is a video that someone had shot after those cops got shot in Compton.
Mm-hmm.
And this video that he plays is supposedly Black Lives Matter celebrating the shooting.
Sure.
In reality, it's a guy who's like, they shot these dudes out here. This is crazy. It's just a guy.
That's him celebrating?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
No indication that has any involvement with Black Lives Matter.
Of course not.
And it's not someone celebrating. It's someone like, whoa, they aired those people out. It's like, I don't even know.
Sure.
Why are we even like... It's amazing that Alex is presenting this as evidence of anything.
It's the devil.
So he plays that stuff, and he gets kind of lost in this weird feeling of like a need to dwell in vengeance fantasies.
So these criminals have never even had a bloody nose, much less politically, their teeth knocked out. And so they got that walking hubris of a fool, of a clown, right before it steps into oblivion. But the fall of Colossus clowns tends to take a lot of civilization with it, so this is a harbinger of destruction. We're on the eve of destruction, make no mistake.
That just not saying anything.
No.
This is a Colossus caveat calamity.
Sure. Yeah,
it's just filling time with vaguely angry, slightly vengeance-filled.
Yeah, he's a headline from the Sun.
Yeah, just words.
Also, hold on, Sun. Politically got there. We've never gotten our teeth politically knocked out. I think we got our teeth politically knocked out about as hard as they've ever been knocked out before.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
there couldn't be. I don't think. I don't know.
Some people literally.
Yeah.
So Alex spends a lot of time in this space, and it's stupid, and I got very, very bored listening to it. And quite honestly, I might have called an audible and said, like, let's find some space nonsense to talk about, or like, let's not do an episode even, because so much of this is just filling time and like talking about the devil. But Alex does start talking about some stuff that I really think is important and that people need to know about.
Okay.
And a large part of that is the way Alex conceives of his own position in the world. And this is where it gets really fucking scary. Whenever it's like, we're fighting against the devil, it's like, okay, it's a cheat code for you not to have to have any real defensible positions, and you can just demonize your enemies and all this stuff. But listen to the way he's painting himself into that picture.
I've learned a lot about human nature in 46 years. And a long time ago, I'd ask God why I was being put through the things I was put through. And God, basically in the spirit, told me, you are being prepared for a mission. And I'm talking about when I was like 3-4 years old.
A mission from God.
A lot of really interesting stuff went on. I'll just leave it at that. And then by the time I was about 17, I knew what it was I was supposed to do. And I always had the deep understanding. It's not even like a vision. It's a roadmap. It's like you're like a machine, but you have free will, that I am to prepare the groundwork for the big wave of that's going to confront Satan and the whole AI world government system, and that I'm one of the key people that brings in the big crop. Like, I'm the precursor to the big one.
Weren't you a Satanist at 18?
Just wrote down.
Yeah.
Just wrote that down. It's like, if you're saying this is... No, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, this doesn't match your own story.
Yeah, come on, man.
But the thing that's really fucked up is the way in which he's creating himself as, like, the prophet.
Oh,
or,
yeah.
Like, I am the most important... I'm an important player in this, and God's been preparing me since I was three, in order to play this crucial role in the battle between good and evil.
He's the man who baptizes Jesus.
But
he's
like,
John, yeah.
But, like, okay, let's say... things settle down a little bit. Let's say tensions go down a tiny bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe a vaccine is released.
Something.
We can start to work back towards a little bit more normalcy on that front.
Sure.
Maybe Biden becomes president and some of the more overt things can be scaled back, and some of the voices that are pushing for reform can maybe have a more sympathetic ear as opposed to someone.
Maybe Biden gets elected and the real work can begin.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe some of that happens. Then what? What happened to the cataclysm?
Ooh. That would be really bad until you realize that that means Alex saved us from the cataclysm.
By getting Biden elected.
By getting Biden elected using the roadmap that he got when he was 17.
Or three. One of the things that only makes, like, this sort of language only makes sense if it's gearing up towards something really bad.
Literally the apocalypse.
Yeah.
The actual, there's going to be 1,000 years of God's reign after.
Well, because like Alex is saying that this is it. It's coming to a head. The globalists their plans are alive. They're hot. All of this is happening. There's a train coming to your town at 100 miles an hour full of dynamite. All this. And I was prepared since the age of 3. And like, well, okay, if those things don't end up happening now, what was happening since you were 3? Like, you can't go back on stuff. I mean, I know that Alex probably can, because he's a fucking liar and no one holds him
attention.
To anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, this is not the sort of thing that's, like, you can go back on. This should be endgame stuff, quite frankly, if you'll pardon the use of the term.
Well, I mean, in the same way that anybody who was like, the Mayan apocalypse is coming, should have been immediately tossed into a ditch whenever it didn't.
From a business perspective, I think a lot of them were.
That's true.
Except for, like, a couple of the most slick folks, like a David Wilcox or, you know, like those kinds of people who already had pretty entrenched brands.
Sure.
I think that did ruin a lot of folks.
Well, then this should have ruined a lot of folks, too.
Yeah, maybe it will.
Let's hope.
So I think that it's really upsetting and deeply disturbing that Alex is presenting himself as, like, this prophet that comes before this cataclysmic battle between the devil.
No, psychopaths claiming that their prophets always works out well.
It's not good. But yeah, man, the devil's real, and I want to play this clip. I believe it's a little bit longer, but it's like this is such a good version of what Alex is all about.
I don't say all this to be negative, and I don't like to sit up here and say all this, but it's true. So I can't lie to you. The satanic forces on this planet are very real. They're just as real as the oxygen you breathe that you can't see. And they want to kill you, and they want to take you away from God, and they want your spirit to be with them, bound forever.
Why?
That's a horrific thing. And so everybody better get right. That doesn't mean going to one of these fake churches. Spirit of evil is so strong in those churches because the enemy has taken them over. You're going to find God when you pray, humble yourself, and I'm just going to leave it at that. The manifest evil we're seeing is only going to get more intense, and there will undoubtedly come a time when the enemy is actually able to take us off air, but they're going to end up taking everybody else off air. That's why, like, before you get caught in a riptide and you've been caught in one, you better get that big gulp of air before you get sucked under and it shoots you out 50 yards down the coast.
Sure.
And relax and don't fight it. Just, and you're going to be inside it. So I'm going to just say this. You'll find out the men from the boys, the women from the girls with the stuff that's happening. You'll find out who wants to fight corruption and who wants to just kind of play games with it, or people that just can't really believe stuff's this bad. And those are people that are childlike or immature. They'll wake up later because you and I and others have planted the seeds. But I'll just say this. Your financial support is what allows us to stay on air.
Smooth.
And put out the talking points that are the most accurate out there.
Right.
Smooth.
Yeah. I mean, you could feel that coming the whole time.
The whole way.
The whole way. It was like, all right, where is the point here?
Oh, it's coming.
You could feel him getting ready to try and monetize these feelings that he's trying to create with this, the devil's really wants your soul, the churches. They're all like, and you know, the only place you can get the real truth out these glitterbug churches, it's you gotta keep us on the air. And like, who cares?
Dude.
Yeah, it's a disgraceful charade that he's engaging in.
Yeah, I'm not even mad about that. I'm just like, fucking dude, come on.
Yeah.
You know you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of gross on a marketing standpoint, and it's kind of sad from a, like, just imagining anybody not being able to see through that kind of standpoint.
Yeah, it really bums me out.
Yeah. But it's kind of, there's some things that end up being kind of funny within this sales pitch. Mm-hmm. And one of those things is, like, Alex is, it's pretty extended. He ends up talking about how, like, these people that work here keep forgetting that we're a radio show. And I'm like, oh, I wonder why. Because you're not really on many stations, probably. And he's like, hey, you gotta give money to our stations. He says this a bunch, but it's just seems kind of sacrilegious.
And our other host, Owen's amazing, and David Knight's amazing, but we've always got to remember,
are they?
Radio stations are picking us up. So we have to narrate things.
They?
That's our main audience. It's still radio.
Is
so the deplatforming didn't work, thank God.
It did.
All our great affiliates, so they are beyond critical. They are paramount to support. You're a listener.
Are they?
Does your local church really fight the Satanists? Does it really fight abortion?
Does
like
it?
We do, and I'm not up here like a Pharisee saying I'm great. Those local stations are doing God's work more than that little whorehouse church. So give them $100 a month.
Okay. It's just a bummer.
That's all I have to say. I just really?
Yeah.
Really?
So we might be getting a little Wacky Wednesday here for a little bit. Alex discusses some alien theories.
All right. I like it.
Aliens could send us over the radio telescope a code to resequence DNA or RNA, and we could build an alien here. They made the movie Species about that. Well, I can tell you, they've taken some of the radio stuff they know is obviously not just random pulsar stars and things like that. Mm-hmm. And they've been doing that. So they've been getting some messages as well in this dimension.
Sure.
So let's talk about the reality of this.
Okay.
Netflix also recommended Species to me recently. I think I know where this narrative is coming from.
One time when I was, I don't know how old I was, but I was in school. I was young, maybe 13, 12, sure. Something like that. I went to like a basketball team sort of party. I don't know.
Sure.
It's one of the team members' dad's house, and they put on Species.
Ooh.
And
great party movie.
Well,
really gets me going.
Here's the kind of dork I was. I was like, this is rated R. I'm not allowed to watch this. And I went and sat in the other room because my parents wouldn't let me watch movies like that.
You are a sweet kid.
I had internalized the rules.
You are a sweet kid.
Anyway, Alex probably watched Species again, and now there's aliens that are transmitting DNA to the Earth, and now we're recreating
aliens.
What
are you going to
do? Cool.
Yep.
So there's a question that's on everybody's head, and that is that Alex still has not been on Rogan. Which is weird.
Well, that is so weird.
And Edward Snowden was just on again.
Oh, that's crazy.
Alex is not.
But Alex,
it's weird. I wonder why.
Mm.
And a lot of people have asked, why aren't you on Joe Rogan yet? Well, Joe did tell me he wanted me to be one of his first guests when he got on Spotify. That became a huge international news issue. And then they tried to deplatform Joe and did a whole SJW event.
By giving him $100 million.
And a whole disappearing of Joe. They engaged in that. What's the term they use? It's on tip of my tongue.
Giving him $100 million is the term.
When they deplatform somebody, that's not the term they use now. It's not called deplatforming. It's called cancel culture. There you go. They attempted to cancel Joe when I made that announcement.
By giving him $100 million. Oh, Joe got canceled with $100 million.
Yeah. Talk of him moderating a fucking debate.
Sure.
Canceled.
Sure.
Canceled.
Canceled him. Got him out of here.
Also, okay, so this is all nonsense and
the
stupid.
The president retweeted him or whatever dumb shit happened.
This is all stupid, and Alex just making excuses for why Joe isn't having him on the show right now.
Yeah.
And that's all good and well, and I appreciate Alex trying to defend his ego in whatever way possible. But let's imagine that Alex isn't making this up.
Uh-huh.
That means that Joe is so afraid of the SJW canceled brigade
afraid.
That
so
he
afraid.
Would respond to that pressure by not having his great truth-telling friend who's instrumental in fighting Satan on his show. He's a sneaky snake.
Well, you know, he's in the neutral zone. He's like Ireland. He's not going to get in the fight between Satan and God.
Alex has said many times you're either with or against him.
Well.
There's only two. He's a sneaky snake or he's a patriot. One of the two. So if Joe is so afraid of the SJW brigades,
yeah.
which can't do anything to him now. He has a $100 million contract with Spotify. They can't do shit. They could get him kicked off YouTube and fine.
If he, they could get him kicked off Spotify. He's still going to get that fucking money, man.
Yeah, I'm sure there is something in his contract that protects him.
You're
going to
get
all
a parachute.
Sorts of,
yeah. You're going to be okay.
There is,
CEOs get $1 billion when they
quit.
There
is no cancellation here, and I understand that Alex can't possibly wrestle with the thought that maybe he's not wanted somewhere, but if Rogan wanted him on, he'd be on.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Alex has a guest. This person's name is Sherry Tenpenny. And she's a osteopath who hates vaccines.
Sure.
And there's a large interview with her, and I don't care. It's mostly all the exact same anti-mask, anti-vaccine,
sure.
corona denialism.
Sure.
Talking points that we've always heard. And I just...
there is an American James Bond. Tenpenny would be the receptionist or whatever, and she would absolutely spout anti-vax nonsense.
Yeah.
While a white Sean or American Sean Connery runs through and causes problems.
So I was looking for anything to hang my hat on in terms of like, oh, these aren't necessarily things we've heard Alex or these other guests say in terms of masks are bad.
Sure.
All this. And this is about as close as I could get to something that was like, oh, this is a Tenpenny original.
The social distancing, the 2 meter mark is a military thing. And so because they can't have an individual energetic imprint of us, or we're clustered together closely with a bunch of people. And so we've got everybody social distancing. The first time I heard that, Alex, I was standing in the break room at my office. I still see patients 2 days a week in my office. And I was standing in the break room. It's the first time I heard it. And I said, please tell me that this is not going to become part of our language lexicon, that we're suddenly now this is social distancing is going to become something we talk about and we embrace like these masks. And sure enough, here we are. I mean, everybody talks about it all the time. And it's really just this 2 meter thing is being able to have an individual imprint on us for the artificial intelligence and the transhumanism things that they're moving towards.
Oh, boy. So
the 2 meters is... the transhumanist.
Well, it's because they need to get energetic imprints of each of us
sure.
or something.
Sure.
And if you're standing too close together, you can't get
you can't get that imprint. That makes sense. No, that's right. Sure, their technology is borderline infinite and they work with the devil.
Right.
But they can't figure out how to really like isolate a signature.
There's that. That's
sure.
one great rebuttal.
Sure.
A second is... they could follow you until you're 6 feet away from somebody and then snap.
Ooh, that's smart. They could have one of those Google street cars.
Uh-huh. Oh, that person's 6 feet away. Get them. Get
yep.
them.
Boom,
just drive
boom,
around.
Boom. Yeah.
If any of this were the actual issue, this would standing 6 feet apart generally in public is not...
Is there a real problem just the metric system there?
I don't know.
2 meters is a military term. We
it
use
is.
Feet in this country.
Yeah.
yeah.
So when she's coming in and saying that the AI and transhumanist agenda is
sure.
being served by people standing 6 feet apart so you get individual energetic imprints of
That's
them
how you do it.
To record or whatever, I was like, I'm not sure this is a doctor the way I conceive of doctors.
How do you think?
Well, and then she said this, and I was like, all right, whatever.
All the people at the top of this ladder, I mean, they're eugenicists, and I believe many of them are Satanists. And they want, and the whole depopulation agenda is alive and well.
So she's talking about, like, people who support vaccines.
Yeah, you know, it's...
They're Satanists!
It's hard not to really get a negative view of religion if you listen to this show.
Well,
you know,
that's true, but I mean, there were good folks who happened to be Christians during the Satanic Panic who weren't all a flutter with the same things that gave such a bad name to believers.
Totally.
And I think that, unfortunately, you know, people of faith are probably, you know, gonna get a bad rep off this stuff.
Sure. I mean, I think the problem is, though, like, as long as you're really vague about it and a Christian and you're just like, the devil's real, you know, don't follow the devil. Everybody's like, okay, that's fine. But whenever you take that and then you actually put it in and you're like, the devil is here on earth and he is the reason that we have to stay 6 feet away. You're like, everybody who believes in the literal devil is dumb, aren't they? That's kind of stupid, isn't it?
I think that as long as we have a pretty nice ability for everyone to recognize that sincerely held beliefs to you can be metaphorically accepted by me.
Totally.
And we can go about our business.
100%.
I think everything is fine. It just becomes a problem when your sincerely held belief that I don't share with you is now the basis for your politics.
Right.
And your politics that disagree with mine are now the difference in our beliefs come down to the literal devil.
That's a problem.
That is a problem because there's no workaround for that.
No, there really isn't.
And
at no point in the Bible is it like, God and the devil, look, it's going to be rough.
Yeah.
But eventually we're going to come to a kind of detente. And sure, there's going to be 1,000 years of God's reign. But then after that, also, we're going to kind of have like a parliamentary system.
Also missing from the Bible, as best I can tell, is the part where Satan is super into police reform.
There is that.
I missed the chapter where like Satan's really pushing hard for updating of the Voter Rights Act.
Jesus, but it's day 28. Look, I'm tired. You're tired.
Uh-huh.
But let me pitch you on this. Police reform. Mm-hmm. Get thee behind me, Satan!
Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, this next clip, Tenpenny, is she's there, and they're coming back from a commercial break, and of course, there's no sound.
Mm-hmm.
I only play this clip because it's interesting to catalog a new tech issue on Alex's show.
Okay.
Here they're saying, oh, it'll be an app on your phone. You don't have to have a shot. You just can't get on a plane, can't go to a grocery store, can't live your life. We need to start forming the opposition to this now. Guys, turn her up for me. Turn her audio up for me. Dr. Tenpenny, we lost your audio for a moment. We're going to work on that. Might be her, might be us. Go ahead, Dr. Tenpenny.
I have,
can you hear me now?
I can. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I guess they had her mic turned all the way down or something. I don't know. Like, it's amazing. It's like a new problem.
Ugh.
Everything clearly must have been working fine, but somebody else fucked something up there.
Did they get a bunch of high school kids to work their booth? Is that the only way they can make ends meet?
Could be Alex's kids.
It's like a work release program.
I don't know. It's not good. It's always impressive, though, and I always like to applaud whenever there's a new fuck up.
It's just somebody at a big board just like pressing buttons every now and again. Just, oh, I wonder what this one does. Oh, we can't hear her anymore. Oh, okay, I'll put a little label on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Turns her off.
Yeah. So a lot of this show is kind of boring nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Then an interview with a boring, nonsensical anti-vax person.
Sure.
And then towards the end, Alex has Bishop Larry Gaithers back on.
Uh-huh.
And this was the dude who is the bad etymologist.
Right.
He's the guy who has all the false root words.
If it rhymes, it's true, buddy.
Hydrogel means Satan in Greek. That's
I love it. I love it. False cognate? Nah, buddy. That's etymology.
So I'm not going to talk too much about him, but one of the things that is important to point out is on our first episode where we encountered him, one thing that we speculated is that he was taking over for Larry Nichols as the witch guy.
Sure.
And turns out, I think this is the case.
Here we go.
Bishop Larry Gaithers, back when Black Lives Matter got set up years ago, said they are Marxist communists, but they're really witches.
Witches.
And You know, I knew the guy was credible. I knew a little bit of that. But, man, he wrote a bunch about it. I read about it. And all of a sudden, they just emerged. It dressed up like Lucifer, black wings. And they talk about incantations of murder and the death of police gives them power. And this demonic spirit, when they're murdering innocent people, they get all excited. And then their sacrament is getting rid of the black family or any other family and going after the testicles of men. I mean, this is total Satanism, the end of our species.
Yeah. So he's his new witch guy.
Yeah, that's a witch guy.
So I wanted to give him a shot. I wanted to listen to a little bit.
Sure.
See
if he's got some witch stuff.
Or some words.
Sure.
Fun words.
Those are fun.
Yeah. And this is where I was like, who cares?
So then Black Lives Matter is a threefold paradigm, the manipulation of reality, the manipulation of time through the prism of the manipulation of probability.
What's
now,
that?
That's Patrice Cullors, okay? So,
and I'm going to get out of here and let you have the floor, but you said it would really be
I'm hungry.
A ritual that they would soon reveal themselves and then be destroyed, and then they're now doing it.
Yeah, and because through their foundation is this West African witchcraft religion called Odu Ifa, which represents the 16 points of demonic possession and infiltration of the human body. But yet at the same time, Alex, there are 16 Black Lives Matter chapters here in the United States and in Canada. That is not by accident. So these three women, okay, we're talking about Patrice Cullors.
Well, they now admit, they say the whole thing is a ritual.
First of all, I love that this dude is saying that, like, Black Lives Matter controls time. They can manipulate time.
Through probability.
And then Alex is like, I'm going to get out of here. Because that's exactly how I would respond. I got
to
go.
Listen, I'm going to get something to eat. I'm going to give you the floor because I have to.
I have to go.
I got to be not here. I got to be not here.
I cannot. Look, I'm interested.
There's 16...
I'm interested in the fact that you're saying this.
Yeah.
But I got
to
go.
Did you know only 144,000 Black Lives Matter people are going to get to heaven?
Well, it's interesting. So, again, this comes down to this, like, okay, I don't believe you, but if your complaint is that there's a West African religion involved here, I still need more.
Yeah.
Still need more from you
in
order to then just that. That doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there's 16 points of manipulation of people and there's 16 chapters. He fucked up. So if you go to the Black Lives Matter website, you can find their list of chapters, their official chapters.
Okay.
And if you count the pins on the map, there's 16.
Sure.
But
those are the cities or places
there's
where...
There's 17 that are listed.
Right.
And one of the reason, I believe, for the error in the counting is there's an official one for Michigan, and that's not represented by a pin on the map.
Ah.
So there's actually 17 chapters that are listed on their site as opposed to the 16 that are pinned in the map. And
are
also,
you sure the Michigan one isn't like the dark chapter?
Might
and there's the evil Pope
right.
who's trying to...
But there's also like tons of unofficial ones throughout the country and throughout the world. And then also they have a portal on the website where you can apply to become an official chapter.
Sure.
And I don't think that they would be doing that if they were an esoteric religion that required 16 chapters for some meaning that they have in this West African witch religion.
Esoteric religions are usually really strict about those things.
Yeah, they wouldn't have 17 chapters.
No.
On the website if it was important that they had 16.
Although maybe they're trying to sneak one by the rules. Maybe their god is like, well, if you don't put it on the map, you don't got to worry about it.
That would be the weirdest god.
He sounds more reasonable than most.
That god would be...
Listen, I'll bend the rules. I'm god. I can do it.
I feel like you would run afoul of those rules really quick because they're so unstated. Anyway.
There's a lot of norms in this god that could be violated.
We have one last clip here, and this is just putting the icing on the cake. Bishop Gators is now the witch guy.
Okay.
These are witches,
witches.
These are witches.
Witches.
And these women must be destroyed. What Black Lives Matter has been designed is to put multiple curses and hexes upon these United States of America because they're being used by the global Baphomet, Luciferian deep state.
I gotta go.
Man.
Yeah.
That's such the way that it's always gone. Like it's always anytime black women lead anything that is anathema to white nationalists.
Well,
it's the worst thing in the world.
It's
the
witches.
Worst thing in the world. Like they, because black women have always been generally, like they've been the first to be right about something and then the last to benefit from it.
Hmm.
Like that has almost always been the case of like, it has always been a black woman leading social justice first and then black women being the last people for, to benefit from it. It's not like there weren't any black fucking suffragettes and they didn't get the right to vote. You know, like it's that kind of bullshit that they have to go after black women. Always. Always.
Well, I mean,
I hate them.
Well, you make some compelling points, and then Bishop Gators would say they're witches.
That, too, is a compelling point.
Right. So,
maybe that's how they're always right first. They can scry into the future.
One of the things that's incredibly difficult here is that in order to get this episode together, you know, we're recording this on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And this is Tuesday's episode of Alex's show. There was a feeling that I had that he would have a response to something that seems important, seems relevant, seems huge, and seems like it requires a response from someone like Alex. And I should have realized that no, it would not happen.
Nah.
He would ramble about the devil.
Why not?
He would declare himself a prophet that ordained by God.
Naturally.
Invalidating much of his timeline.
Don't worry about it.
And then talk to a boring anti-vax osteopath doctor, and Bishop Gators would come in and call people witches.
Yeah.
Like, it's... It is what it is.
There's nothing to hang your hat on with Trump. There's just nothing, so you have to ignore it.
Right.
You have to pretend that there's a completely different reality.
And I honestly think that people are, like, on the right, or at least Alex's audience, must be bored of deep state stuff.
They have to be.
Because that's when you go to the devil. You know? Like...
When deep state ain't doing it,
well,
you gotta go to the devil.
When Obama's in office, it's the government.
Sure.
It's the government. It's the federal government. There's a lot of great governments
great
on the state
governors,
level.
Great governors. States' rights all the way.
When Trump wins and you realize, like, ah, shit, there's no excuse for why the things that we want aren't
blue
happening.
Blue cities.
Well,
blue states.
There's stay-behind networks in the government, and the globalists are actually in charge of the deep state, which has been the government all along. Oh, but we're kind of bored of that. It's the devil. They're all working for the devil.
Man.
I don't know what the next step would be, though.
The super devil. I don't know.
Yeah.
You can't go up from the devil.
No.
Unless. All right. You only have one notch to go up from the devil.
Don DeMello?
God.
Oh.
So, also, yes, that's very funny.
Maybe
it turns... Here's what you do. Here's what you do if you're Alex. You say, actually, God has turned against us. We have to fight God and the devil.
I don't think that Alex would be able to sell that.
Probably not. That's a tougher sell.
Yeah.
We need to defeat God is a tough sell.
Yeah. I don't know. I find it somewhat interesting to watch this progression that he's on, where everybody is the devil. Everybody's working for the devil.
Mm-hmm.
I am a prophet. God told me at the age of 3 that I would be important in bringing about the standing against the devil.
Sure.
Like it's interesting in a sense, because I do think that these are the sorts of things you would expect to see in somebody before something really bad.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if we were making a documentary about Alex Jones and this happened right before some kind of an intense flame out.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be surprised if that was the arc of the documentary.
Totally not.
But
no,
because
no, no, no.
We're recording this on September 15th, the same day as these sorts of things are being said.
Right.
It's like, hey, it's equally likely that this is a prelude to something bad
as
it is to him trying to sell you emergency food 6 months from now.
Yeah, every moment he doesn't explode is edging. It's just edging, you know? It's
a
like
little bit.
You're going to just do it.
Well, it's somewhat that if you allow it to be, and sometimes I admit I allow myself to get drawn into that.
Sure.
But it's just because he's behaving in the ways that typically are indicative of that. And it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's interesting to watch, but it's also incredibly uninteresting to listen to Tenpenny and Gators.
It is a paradox.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yes.
Let's listen to some calls before we get out of here.
That sounds great.
Hey, Tat guys. This is Josiah calling from the Austin Greenbelt, which appears to be free of the oppressive thumb of teenage lifeguards. Thought I'd share a story with you guys to lift your spirits from present-day Alex. I, as an Austin native, have a friend down here who happens to have children attending a school district. They were attending a school play a couple years ago, and they reached out to me afterwards because apparently, some point during this play, very near the beginning, they heard someone heckle the small elementary school children on stage. They started pretty much right off the bat yelling things like, you know, oh, what kind of tree is that? Sitting down? Is that a sitting tree? And other, well, not crass, very direct insults towards the professional child actors on stage. They apparently continued this for most of the play before someone in between them got up and they noticed it was a certain thick-necked individual who had allegedly been drinking and allegedly been heckling children at a school play. So I just thought that would be a nice break from present day's Alex's religiosity. And I wanted to weigh in on the very hot debate Dan keeps bringing up about Five Iron Frenzy and say that they hold up pretty well. Thanks for all you do, guys, and yeah.
A lot there.
I was waiting for him to say it's quokka.
Quokka, yeah. Five Iron Frenzy does hold up. Thank you for validating that opinion. Mm. Also, I mean, like, look, obviously this is one person's story, and we can't take it as proven. But if Alex drunkenly heckle a child performance, I would not be surprised.
No, not at all.
That checks out in terms of my what I would assume he behaves like.
That sounds like an SNL sketch. You know, like somebody's
a
sketch. Somebody is. That's a little Mike Sheehan for you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, your child is at a play. You're watching them, and somebody just won't stop being an asshole behind you. And you just get so fed up. You're like, finally, you stand up, you turn around, and it's Alex Jones. You're like, God damn it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
This is not fair.
No. It would be surreal.
Yeah.
It'd be like, oh yeah. All right. You kind of have to be like, I mean.
You're doing you.
Yeah.
No. I should have expected. This is, you know.
What are you going to do when an asshole bees an asshole?
Yeah. Also, now we know what to do. Always carry a tiny bullhorn with
true.
You. Bullhorn him down.
Yeah.
Tyranny slapper one.
Yeah. Also good to know that the green belt is free of the lifeguards. I got a good...
They're in the forest.
Yeah.
They're in the trees. Always be aware.
Also...
teenagers are behind you.
Also, this reminded me of another thing. Very unimportant. You could hear a bird in the background of that call. Mm-hmm. You know, Tenpenny. You could also hear a bird in the background. During her interview, it was driving me crazy. This bird wouldn't shut up.
I just love professionalism so much, Dan.
This bird, Anyway.
Hey, tat guys. This is Rose, a tat gal, I suppose, since I do have a couple tattoos. But anyway, I was calling because in one of Dan's many bright spots about plants, he mentioned how awesome it is to put something in the ground as a seed. And then it turns out it's grows up into this huge plant, and I'm not very good at growing plants, but the other night I was sitting there petting my cat and thinking about how I've only ever had adult cats, and she's the first cat I got as a kitten, and when I first got her, she was this tiny little seed kitten, and she would be scared and hide under my bed, and all I had to do was give her some water and some sunshine and some food and let her grow, and she's turned into this amazing, big, beautiful, fully grown adult huntress cat, and just wanted to say thanks for that new perspective and how incredible it is to be part of something, you know, watch something grow. And anyway, thanks for the show. I appreciate all the work you put into it. Dan, don't be so hard on yourself if you have to miss an episode. We all got to take our days. You deserve it. And thanks, guys. Take it easy. Bye.
I reserve the right to remain hard on myself. But also, I just imagine, like, anybody with kids hearing either my perspective or hers. Like, you jackoffs with your plants and your cat, you're not
my shit talks.
But I mean, I imagine that is how people feel about their offspring to some extent. You
totally.
Know, you see it as a little baby, and then it grows into a child, and then an adult. It's kind of the same thing with plants and pets if you don't ever have kids.
No, I mean, my wonderful Westie, Fanny, we watched her grow from a puppy into a fussy old lady, and it did not take long. I think that's my favorite part about having dogs is they just turn really grumpy and sleepy really quick. That's what I would want for my kids. I would want like a 5-year-old grumpy kid who just sleeps all the time.
I think you could get that, you know, I think they're pretty grumpy pretty early.
That's true.
That's what I understand.
I know mine would be.
My plants are grumpy. No, they're not. But yeah, it is something.
It's beautiful. It really is.
And you know, another thing that is the, like what sort of we're touching on, me and Rose both, is this, you know, it's tough to
recognize. Both.
It's tough to recognize it as you're a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like these plants, they look different to you than they do to me because I see them every day. And, you know, you see maybe like every few days and like there might be a jump in.
Yeah,
I have
a certain time lapse kind of to it. Yeah.
And it's harder when you're, you know, with a cat the entire time or with a plant the entire time to recognize the changes, and it's important to take a step back and, you know, appreciate.
Totally. It is, you know, my nieces have gotten very big, very quick. And you're like, I haven't seen you in a year and you're tall.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with you?
Right.
That's how I'm not good at family.
No. Next call.
Hi, Dan and Jordan. My name is Mathis. My pronouns are they, them. I wanted to let you know that I often listen to your podcast while I'm in my garden. And when hearing about Dan's intent to start the Season of the Vine, I thought I would let him know that actually passion fruit vines are pretty easy to grow. I have one out here in Texas, and it's like pretty low maintenance. I just kind of let it grow on my fence, and it gets hit with the water from my sprinkler, and it's fine. And it has like these really beautiful, interesting flowers. And it's great for attracting butterflies. So, yeah, that's kind of just all I wanted to say. I hope you're having a good day. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
It's
pronounced butterfly.
I'm very happy to have just a call-in plant.
Yeah, you're having a great time.
I don't know if I've brought this up on the show or not, but I actually did get a passion fruit vine.
Did you?
Well,
No, I know that.
I have the, like, it's a...
Why am I always like, oh, really?
Well, it's like a, you know, a clipping or whatever that's going to grow into a vine. But I have, that's one of the year of the vine.
yes, of course.
Things, because the passion fruit flower is one of the coolest looking weird alien-ass flowers I've ever seen. If anybody out there listening hasn't seen a passion fruit flower, Google that shit. They look weird. I think they take a long time to grow into fruiting or flowering.
Sure.
So I got a good year or two before any of that. But I've begun on a passion fruit vine. So that's very exciting.
I'm looking forward to time lapsing that into the future. That'll be great.
Yeah.
All right, Dan and Jordan, it's Callum from Edinburgh. I just wanted to give you a quick call. Love the show, obviously. Had a lot from the Aussies, but I don't have a lot from the Brits on the answer phone, but there you go. One of the Aussies whose call was on last show, she was saying she was getting a cat, used to name it Buckley. I did consider naming the two kittens I got a couple months ago Buckley and Barnes, but I decided against it because I don't want to have to live with that shit for years.
That's
I
fair.
Did name a Dungeons & Dragons character Wolfgang Halbig, in about March, and we're still playing the campaign, and I regret it. I regret it quite a lot. He originally shared about conspiracy theories, and then had a whole religious conversion to a new faith and deity. It's a whole thing. If you want, you know, I can get my my DM to send you his novel series that he'll eventually write. Speaking of which, love Jordan's book.
Thank you.
Cats are bugging me right now. Dan knows this. Dan knows what this is like. Little shits, but, you know, please don't kill Sully. We all like her.
I promise I won't.
Whoa, kill whoa, whoa, whoa! That escalated.
I made a joke about that. I know. I will not. I will not hurt a hair on her head.
Of course not.
It's pronounced Quokka.
I like that he says Brits, because that if you're from Scotland, that probably won't be part of your name for that much longer. You're going to be a Scot again real soon.
The the thing that he brought up too about caller who wanted cat names.
Yeah.
I fuck it. As soon as we stopped recording, I realized Meow Zagami.
Oh, of course.
I mean, she shouldn't. Of course. She shouldn't name the cat that.
No.
That would have been the pun.
Yeah.
Meow Zagami.
Yeah. Leo Zagamyow.
I think mine's better.
Yeah, I think so too.
Anyway, that brings us to the end of this episode. It's a little bit shorter, Jordan, but I think that I got my back put against the wall expecting Alex to respond or talk about a certain bit of news, and then instead he just rambled about the devil. And try as I might, I cannot disprove the devil. And I cannot engage with that in any critical sense other than to say, like, well, this guy believes that he is a pillar of God's chosen team fighting the devil, literally, that is manifest in the bodies of people who are trying to push for greater social equity.
Yeah, once you're stuck at turtles all the way down, there's really nowhere to go from there.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. But I will say that I'm hopeful that on Friday we'll be back with something not as disappointing.
Yeah.
From Alex.
Yeah.
Something that has a little bit more juice to
it. Yeah, let's hope.
But we will be back then. Until then, Jordan, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at knowledgefight, and I go to bed, Jordan.
Yep, we are also on Facebook.
Indeed, we are on Facebook. If it's down to the show, iTunes, and if you could, please find a local charity or bail fund in your area to help out those doing God's work right now.
Yep, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo, I'm Leo, I'm DZX Clark, I'm Daryl Rundus. I have forgotten that Alex is a radio show.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.